Okay, let's go ahead and get started. I'll start with the IP note. Anyone can participate in these calls. However, if you've not agreed to the group's IP policy, we can't consider substantive contributions. Let us know if you have any questions about that. Queuing in IRC, so we use IRC to queue speakers during the call as well as to take minutes. Type Q plus to add yourself to the queue. And you add an optional reminder message after that. If you're not on IRC, simply speak up on the voice call and ask to be put on the queue. And please be brief so that the rest of the queue can chime in. You can always add yourself to the queue again. All attendees should type present plus to get on the attendee roll, as I'm doing now. Okay. So we have our scribe. Thanks, Manu. Okay, and for the agenda review, I pasted the agenda in Slack, IRC. So what we're covering today, you know, the usual introductions, reintroductions, announcements, reminders, progress on action items, work items, and let's see, I have some question. I just got a late email in that may affect the next two items on the agenda, but possibly review of the previous discussions we've had about did stories, questions, pain points. And then lastly, the main focus would be a working session where we go through the idea of a DID explainer for the W3C tag. This is the thing that we got the most feedback on from the tag in terms of a DID working group. And they gave us a template that is sort of a good format that we could consider. One second. So I'm going to break protocol. Joe, can you chime in real fast about the changes to the agenda that you emailed about?
Oh, it was just there's a line item that says connections check, and since we've decided that that's more complicated than it's worth, we don't need to go over it, and yet we didn't update it in our template, so.
Oh, it's in the template, not in the, okay.
Well, it's in what we sent out today or what you sent out yesterday, but just a reminder, we don't need to spend time on it.
Okay. I your voice cut out right when you were saying what it is.
I will change
the template.
The connection
check on line 3.
Okay. Okay, I still don't know.
I'll take care of changing it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I'll fix it. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, we're good.
Okay, excellent. So let's start with introductions and reintroductions. Do you have anyone new that would like to introduce themselves? I'll call in one alias that I don't recognize, Riaro, R-H-I-A-R-O. Okay, I'll move to reintroductions then. Let's see, Dan Pape, are you on the call?
Kim, you haven't reintroduced yourself in a while.
I was just about to call on Nathan George, but I don't think he's here either. So, yeah, I can introduce myself. I am a reintroduce. I am Kim. I am one of the three chairs of the Credential Community Group, and I'm CTO at at Learning Machine. And what we work on is educational, occupational, verifiable credentials, effectively. It's a lot of our work stems from work we did with open badges. So a lot of the use cases are sort of designed for that. So the idea is recipient-centric credentialing, where recipients can prove control over their credentials. So all of it's very in line with what we're doing here. I am also on steering committees for the Rebooting Web of Trust and the Decentralized Identity Foundation. So I'm looking forward to some of the further alignment possibilities that we can do with the CCG and the DIF. I'm very excited to be part of this community. Yes, good kung fu there, Lionel. announcements and reminders. The highlights are the W3C workshop on strong authentication and identity. The deadline for applying has passed, so I think if you haven't applied, you're probably out of luck. Is that right, Manu?
You can try. We're at capacity, so the only way you're getting a seat at this point is if somebody else doesn't come. But, you know, if you do really want to go ahead and submit an application, and we'll see what we can do.
Okay, sounds good. And so I'll include the link for that just in case anyone has land interest. Moses, I see you on the queue. I'll get right to you after finishing the announcements. Sorry, my screen's frozen now. Okay, maybe I won't. Okay, my screen's frozen in IRC. Let's see.
We got the link.
Oh, you did? Okay. Oh, I see. Okay. Second is Rebooting Web of Trust 8. The 8th in February 27th through March 1st, location TBD. Here is the link for that. And lastly, there's the Internet Identity Workshop, April 30th through May 2nd in Mountain View, California. And I'm including the link for that. Okay, Moses, I saw you on the queue. Do you have anything you want to add?
Yeah, two things. One is I invited a friend, Jill, to join and speak at the identity workshop that's in Seattle. I just wanted to tell Christopher you should go and ask her to sponsor Rebooting Web of Trust when you meet her, okay? Second thing is I asked one of my partners, Dr. Pochi Wu, so he used to be a VC, and he said he'd be happy to help come up with modeling revenue possibilities for DID developers and how we could all make more money at this. And I was hoping that somebody with the startup would volunteer to host him and do a Zoom call. The reason being that, you know, you could then hit him up and ask him to review your business plan and introduce you to VCs because he knows everybody in the business. But if nobody volunteers, I'd be happy to do it. It would be a very good opportunity if anybody would like to volunteer right now.
When is it?
It can be any time you want to do it, because as the person who manages it, you get to set the date with Pochi.
And with Pochi from Institute of the Future?
No, Pochi. He's not with the Institute of the Future. He's with Future Lab. He's one of my partners.
Okay. Okay, and it would be a one-time thing or a monthly thing?
One time. You just meet one time. We're going to go through a list of all the possibilities and then basically rank them by how long is it going to take to make any money, how much money is this idea going to make or this product going to make, and how much is it going to cost in terms of effort to get this to actually break even. So we do that.
I'd be happy to host like a webinar or something.
Okay, who's this?
Sam Chase.
Sam, great. You'd be perfect since you wrote the paper. And thank you for that paper on a revenue creation model. Okay, so thanks. I'll email you.
Thanks.
Moses, if you can't see IRC, Jarlath also said that he can participate.
Who?
Jarlath.
Okay. Terrific. I'll put a post into the mail list inviting people to attend and listen and participate. All right?
Okay. Thank you, Moses. Next, we'll move to progress on current action items. The link is right here. I think both for action items and work items, I don't think we'll have anything very interesting here. Put yourself on the queue if you have anything you want to add about one of the action items. Okay, let's move on to work items. I also expect that to be light.
So we do have, this is Joe. Go ahead, Manu. I'll respect the queue here.
Oh, just really quickly. We're bringing Amy Guy on, who's identified as Rihario in IRC. To help with spec editing in this group. So specifically the DID spec, I expect that she's probably going to be doing quite a bit of work specifically on the DID spec. So hopefully that'll mean that we'll start getting some editorial passes, issues will start being processed in a more reasonable time frame. For those of you that haven't worked with Amy, she's awesome, she's great, did a lot of work in the social web working group, a long time spec standards open source person. So she may start joining these calls in the next couple of weeks.
Manu, was that, you said the alias is Riaro, or the
yeah.
RHI? Okay, perfect. Okay, yeah, I see her in IRC. Welcome, Amy. Very excited to, we'll be getting help there. Let's see, Joe, anything to add?
Yeah, two things. So one is, Amanda, you mentioned on the last call some work items that did not make it yet into this page. I'm not sure the best way to get, you had a couple.
Yeah, I don't want
to make sure we don't let those drop.
I don't want to put them on the list yet and feel bad every week for not making progress on it. So I'd rather wait until we have something and then put it on the list.
Okay, so I'll just note there's work items pending for Manu, and we can harass you that way.
Great. Thanks.
So the other thing I wanted to note is that probably in the next two meetings, we're going to review we have two meetings ahead with regard to our work items, specifically reviewing the year of 2018 and how well we did against the work breakdown structure we set out. And getting feedback on how we could do it better. And then secondly, reviewing a plan for 2019, which we updated that dev kit and hopefully include these new work items that Manu's gotten us all so excited about. So that's just a heads up in terms of year-end paperwork and planning that we'll be doing in the next couple of meetings before the holidays.
Thanks, Joe. Christopher, you're next.
Yes, mine was very similar to Joe's, but I would like to, you know, add maybe a little bit of clarity. We have a lot of work items. Work items need to move to be CCG reports. So we haven't been making much progress on them in the last, 4 or 5 months. So, you know, some of them we just may move to the, you know, to another column. if people aren't going to be actively working on them as, you know, incomplete or whatever. So if one of these reports is important to you, you want to get it to be a report, start thinking about when you can do so. And I'm going to, you know, pick, for instance, the credential handler API. Forgive me for picking that one out as an example, but you know, I'd really like to know when that is going to be ready and when we can turn it into a report rather than just having it be a sort of stagnant item on our list. And it's, you know, too far away, let's just put it on hiatus for a while. So we know what it is we're working on and we can focus on those.
Thanks, Christopher. And actually, it would be nice to get some clarity on those before the end of the year. Maybe just to prepare before then, if you have something that's one of these work items, you don't think you'll be able to make progress in terms of turning it into a report. I am guilty of this. I see an item I probably will move back to potential work items because we haven't made progress. Then send it to the mailing list so we can start being aware of what we might cut. And then also that might open up some opportunities to swarm on things that are closer. Let's see. Anyone else on? We have Manu on the queue.
I know you were just bringing that up as an example, Christopher. I would say that's something that we should put on hiatus, primarily because that specification is like waving a red flag in front of a bull. We want to be very careful about attracting the wrong type of interest at the wrong time. But similarly, that's probably going to be a topic of discussion at the upcoming Strong Authentication and Identity Workshop. So we may put it on hold and then very quickly bring it back. Their implementations are progressing on that specification. It's just we want to make sure that we have a fairly strong verifiable credential ecosystem before we start pulling the browser manufacturers in. Because if we pull them in too early, they will just effectively redesign and redeploy things that we've already done in ways that may not be very aligned with the way the community wants the ecosystem to work. So anyway, I think that's one of the specs that has that danger. I don't think many of the other specs that we have that danger. Don't know if that's helpful or not.
Yes, thanks, Ben. I don't see anyone else on the queue, so we can move to one of the first items from the agenda. Reviewing basically the previous meetings that we've had in preparation for both the W3C Identity Workshop and just preparing for the DID Working Group. So the last three meetings we talked about DID stories, questions, and pain points. And let's see, I'm going to paste in the doc. So Christopher and Joe.
I got it. I pasted it.
Cool. Okay, so Christopher and Joe put some effort into summarizing, you know, the outcomes of that. Christopher, do you want to guide us through this?
Sure. So if you go to the link at the live doc and feel free to suggest additional things, but basically I was just trying to capture what I could, or Joe and I, to capture what we could from the last three meetings. So the first meeting we had 3 weeks ago, we talked about a little bit about some of the stories that we had regarding explaining DIDs and the problems or things that happened in the story. So for instance, you know, there was pushback on the words self-sovereign identity and corporations don't care, et cetera. And then, you know, there were some potential answers that were done and did. Two weeks ago, we tried to capture what were the common questions. You know, why do we need a new universal namespace? You know, who manages keys, lost keys, et cetera. But, you know, what are the common questions that you are getting when you talk about a DID that maybe we aren't answering? The last week, we really tried to focus on what is it about DIDs or, you know, the decentralization offered by DIDs that solve pain points, and what are those pain points? And, you know, this was kind of what was discussed. These are incomplete lists. We don't necessarily need answers in here, but, you know, in the document that we're going to be talking about next, we'd like to be sure that we might, you know, that we have answers for a lot of these or are able to leverage a lot of these. And part of the reason why we're doing all this, again, at the very bottom, I have the link to the current W3C DID primer, which is now in spec text, and the basic statement was, you know, this, it didn't explain why. When we wrote it, we'd already drunk the Kool-Aid. We weren't, we were explaining it to ourselves. We need to go back and talk about what is the underlying value proposition and pain point solved to address needs. We can leave the agenda, let's spend maybe a couple of minutes if people want to add something or have a question about adding something to these three sections, and then we can move on to what we really need to do, which is draft a new document.
I guess I'll call on myself. What I was wondering is if the explainer, I mean, it sounds like some of the things might solicit some of the external information rather than internal, you know, preaching to the choir kind of thing. Is it possible that DID explainer work can help feed into to the DID primer effort?
Yes, I mean, that is my hope. Or replace the DID primer, I don't know. We'll see.
Great. Adrian's next.
Just a quick question. I was kind of confused. I wrote up 3 pages or so explaining why our particular use case needs DIDs, but I wasn't at all sure whether it was at the right level to serve the purposes, political and otherwise. I don't mean to say political, but it kind of is. So whether it was too controversial. So I just sent it to a couple of the chairs, and I guess I'm just saying it's unclear from the description what contributions you expect, other than the list of things we should be concerned about, which is a very good list.
I see. And Johnny Crunch also mentioned that it looks like the document is read only. So maybe if at least we can let people add comments or, you know, edit in suggesting mode. Joe is next.
Thanks. Yeah, Adrian, that was a great write-up, and I encourage you to actually share it with the rest of the list. What I wanted to note was that the explainer framework from the W3 Technical Architecture Group is a particular framework that they would like to see outlined. So it's a little bit more specific, and it's a little bit you know, constrained versus what you had written. So I think yours is great fodder, and I encourage you to share it more widely. And then what we're going to be talking about today is this sort of more limited template that if we can coherently and concisely answer their bullet points, I think it will be easier for them to engage with us as they give feedback and make recommendations for our proposed working group for DIDs.
So, yes, it looks like Christopher updated the permission, so we encourage anyone with suggestions to add it to the document, preferably in suggestion mode, so we can see the changes more easily.
I also added to the bottom a list. I just added at the bottom, if you've got an explainer that, you know, we don't know about or some slides that you think are exemplary, just add it to the bottom of the list. There's a link. There's a list of links there.
Thanks. And I was just going to ask you and Joe, are there any other sort of actions we want people to take besides editing this document?
No, that's good enough for now. We can move on to what our target document is next.
Excellent. Okay, Manu is up next.
Yeah, and I don't want this to distract from the more important conversation about the thing we need to deliver to TAG. But I've noticed that we're having issues explaining what we're doing to people, or rather, we have plenty of content. It is just not organized in a way that enables people to engage easily. And, you know, while reading the internet last night, I just randomly ended up on the Secure Scuttlebutt page. So there's a link in there. So Secure Scuttlebutt is this kind of decentralized secure gossip platform. And I thought they did a really good job. Like, it's not super professional, but they do a pretty good job of introducing people to the ecosystem and why you should care. They take a more, like, code-first approach. But I found their site compelling and something that we might learn from in this community, especially given the types of documents that we're talking about creating and are creating. So I think the thing that we're hurting from in this group right now is someone to organize that information in a compelling way. We need a website designer/editor, content editor, to take a shot at it. And I think if we modeled it off of the Secure Scuttlebutt site, we'd be in pretty good shape.
That's great. I'm going to check that out. Let's see. Oh, you have the link in here. Okay, Dimitri, you're next.
One quick thing to add to the Secure Scuttlebutt comment. I agree they do a great job in explaining what they're trying to do. They're also a fantastic example of failing to address the key recovery problem. And I'm glad key recovery was in that frequently asked questions document that was just linked because I use Secure Scuttlebutt. It's a great sort of decentralized Facebook alternative type thing. And they very much assume that an account is linked to one key, and if you lose it, that's it. So that they don't have a good recovery story. So they're an excellent example in many ways, and also what happens when you don't account for key recovery. That's it.
Great. Moses, you're next.
Yeah, one of the ideas my group had is somebody should be building an Adobe XD mock-up of what an interface looks like for a DID product. That would not only give people, you know, a vision of what it looks like, but if you open source that template, it could actually accelerate development of prototypes. So that's an idea. We haven't bit off doing that yet, but it's something we're considering doing. If somebody else is thinking of doing that or wants to work on it, please let me know. Thanks.
Okay, the queue is empty. Let's move on to the highlight, which is a working session to go through the DID explainer template in preparation for the W3C technical advisory group review. Let's see. For the format, actually, can I ask either Joe or Christopher to sort of walk us through this, or maybe Manu, if Manu, I'll scribe for you to walk through this sort of high level. Originally, what Christopher, Joe, and I had intended is that we would talk through these sections for the most part, and then attempt to find owners to elaborate on these. I'm not sure if that's the format we wanted to stick with, if that works with sort of the revisions to the agenda that Joe and Christopher were referring to. let's see. Okay, so.
Well, I can begin a little bit. So I think that, starting at the top is probably not the right idea. In particular, I think some of the things that we could talk about are things like the non-goals. What are some of the non-explicit non-goals that we've not explicitly made
I think that would be an important discussion. You know, what scenarios do we want to, you know, we want to focus on, which of the two user scenarios do you want to do? But these tricky design choices, like, one of the tricky design choices was, not real names. not a replacement for DNS. That was a tricky design decision. What else? So just beginning to capture some of these things in the in there, because that's what the tag wants. You know, what are the alternatives? What does Solid or Blockstack offer that is different or orthogonal to what we do? So that's kind of what we wanted to do. And this is a, I believe this is now open for editing. Should we want it open for editing? Yeah. I'm going to set it opening for editing. If it's a quick, just adding something, go ahead and edit. But if you want to change somebody else's thing, use suggest.
Joe, you're up.
You may need to refresh.
Yeah. So I want to undo some of what you just said, Chris, about suggesting with slightly different language. Please, if there's a bullet point you think expands and fits in the section, please add it. Just add it. Don't suggest it, because then there's another process to accept it. But if you're changing something that doesn't seem like there's consensus around and you really mean it as a suggestion, like maybe, hey, here's a better way to do it, then please go ahead and use suggest. But in general, I would like to invite people to just dive in and write things out. The process that I'm trying to catalyze here, we as the chairs are trying to catalyze here, is in the next 2 weeks to get something prior to the workshop in Seattle. It may not be something ready for distribution, but the idea is that this week, let's go through the content. People can add bullet points. We'll try and get some folks to sign up to turn those bullet points into prose in the next week. And then we'll look at this again next week. And me and I think Dan Burnett had also signed up to help out with editorial on this, to put some time into cleaning up the flow and the prose and getting a full document. And so it's kind of a quick, chaotic coordination to get people's input into the structure that the tag has asked us to put things into. So the first phase is please contribute if you have something that you think might be appropriate. And then if you can, please sign up to, which we'll do at the end of the call, to write some prose for the bullet points that we're pulling together.
I think we literally want people to start, as we speak, feel free to start typing in the three or four things you care about the most. You can do so now. Don't worry about stomping on other people's feet. This is not a final draft. Just, feel free to capture things. And then we can have does anybody have any ideas on what's a non-goal? We've not really talked about non-goals.
Yes, please add yourself.
Sure.
Manu, you're up.
Manu's on you.
So I think the a non-goal is complete disruption of anything that exists right now, right? So I think we're not trying to replace DNS. That might be a side effect several years down the line, but we're not putting a target on DNS and saying we should take it down. We're saying, hey, there's this new kind of global namespace that would be useful for these sets of use cases. So I think, outlining the systems that we're not trying to replace, we're not trying to replace HTTP, we're not trying to replace DNS, we're not trying to do content addressed data stores in the DID spec specifically. Highlighting and that basically helps us narrow down the actual focus for decentralized identifiers, which is really key discovery in service discovery, right?
Right. Joe, you're up.
I just wanted to add identity assurance. I put it in the bullet point. DidAuth is not an identity assurance framework, although it steps in that direction. And even DidAuth is, outside of our scope. So actually, how do we represent that as a non-goal, the boundary between DID and DidAuth or other protocol uses of DIDs?
There's no one else on the queue to talk about goals and non-goals, but I want to keep that thread going. I have a separate question on the, it was the use cases. Key scenarios. And I saw Christopher typing in something about educational credentials for the first scenario. The idea that was being used as the working example in the verifiable credentials group. So I was wondering about that. And then also, in general, for the key scenarios, can we use some of the outputs of the previous meetings, the stories about explaining DIDs, are any of those worth promoting to sort of a key scenario? That's it. Christopher, you're up.
I don't want to speak specifically for everybody in the working group, but I think the working group has discovered that the very common over 21 age type of example is problematic on a number of fronts. Even the DMV would say, they weren't intended to be of age verification. Their intent was for it to be used for you're allowed to drive. The age thing was just more of a different thing. So there was a lot of discussion about that. It keeps on coming up. It's also come up as potentially a bad selective disclosure example because it just makes things complicated in ways that a nice simple, I institution offered subject, say that subject has graduated and met the requirements of a degree. Straightforward, simple thing was a better place for people to begin to understand verifiable claims. And I think that because of that, it might be good to have that as the first, use story, and we can talk about, some of the other things that have happened, like, institutions changing and bearer credentials and other values that DIDs add to verifiable claims in that user story. That's it.
Great. Manu, you're up.
I wanted to talk a bit about the W3C tag and kind of their expectations. So just as a word of warning, we are definitely being used as a guinea pig for this new process that the tag has. This kind of explainers document, some would argue that it's not new. You've always had to explain what you're doing to the tag, but they typically, pull you in and ask you to do it. This thing on creating an explainer is a more recent thing. The other thing to recognize is that the tag are composed of people that are fantastically busy, and so they are not going to spend a tremendous amount of time trying to dig into the details. One person from the tag will do that. And that's Hadley Beeman, and she always does a great job digging in and really understanding the space. But the rest of the folks will not really do that. They'll look at the explainer, they'll ask some high-level questions, and then that's basically, after that, if they have further concerns, we'll be asked to come in and kind of chat. Drummond, to answer your question, why are we being used as the guinea pig? It's not just us, a couple of other, they're asking this of all new groups to do this, but this process is kind of new. I've never had to go through it before. I don't think there's any kind of nefarious targeting going on. It's just they just happen to get the process ratified, and they're expecting new groups to go through the process, and we just happen to be on the bleeding edge there as well. So anyway, just I think that plus one to using examples that are really easy to grasp. We don't want to get into incredibly in-depth use cases. So for example, I think it's fantastic that we have the Amira paper and Adrian's paper, but I think those are both examples of things that we do not want to expose them to until they get to the point where they want to see a more complex use case. Typically, when they see complexity, they immediately start pushing back on it. The other thing to note also with the tag is that, you know, they don't have the power to say, no, we can't do this work. But it is good to get them, give them a heads up, because their job is to coordinate all the activities at W3C. I mean, there are 50 plus, working groups in operation at any given time, and they have to make sure that the web platform sticks together. And there are other groups that they might actually suggest that group uses DIDs or uses verifiable credentials. So they are very much our friends, and they're trying to help. They're trying to understand, but they are limited in time, which means that we have to be much more careful with what we put in front of them. That's it.
Thanks. And I am next on the queue. So I wanted to follow up on the educational example. So yes, I had already been thinking that I want to totally change the motivation intro slides when I talk about DIDs, so that we show driver's licenses. And, it's every time we try to do it, it just breaks down because the string in the ID string in the driver's license doesn't really work as a good analogy. So I do like the idea of leading in with something like, I graduated from something, some university. There's the expectation of long-term, applicability, the idea that the recipient should be able to use it for a long amount of time. There's the idea that, on the one hand, that institutions can go out of business. Some people push back on that, but the other side, which is very real, is a key rotation on the recipient side, because if it's something that, if you buy into the idea that you can use this machine-readable credential and you can prove control of it over it through cryptography, then key management is an instant concern. I'd like to help, convert, round out that scenario. I think it would be a lot more informative and get less pushback than the driver's license example. Let's see. I don't know if we have any candidates for other scenarios. I'd be interested to hear that, and then also if anyone has more on goals and non-goals you want to add. I noticed a lot of additions, if anyone wants to talk to those.
Another thing I think really needs some work is the considered alternatives. If somebody, especially Manu or whatever, can talk about, what are we competing against?
Joe's up.
Yeah, in the area of scenarios, I mean, I think the sweet spot, and we've been talking about it over the last couple of weeks. There are a lot of situations where I like the phrase interstitial jurisdictionality, which is a horrible term, and we shouldn't put it in this explainer document. But, when two parties need to have some sort of reliable transaction, and they don't both have a common deferable authority, for example, they're in different countries, and their transaction isn't governed by some international treaty or UN body, then, do I need to do business with a Russian company? Do I need approval from the Russian government? Do I need an identifier issued by the Russian state? Well, maybe not. Maybe this is a case of interstitial jurisdictionality. We want to be able to engage in business that's reliable and credible. but our jurisdictions are not aligned with geographic sovereignty, which is sort of how the internet breaks a lot of things. So, you know, Manu, I don't know if some of the things you're doing with CPB might be inappropriate, or if you'd like to avoid that possible entanglement. But I'd like to have a scenario that's really about crossing those borders. We could put that in the educational scenario. I mean, getting your degree recognized in a foreign country can be quite a problem with the current process. So maybe we just fold that into this educational scenario, or maybe there's another opportunity.
That's interesting because, a lot of, say, learning machine customers talk about the value of it in terms of preventing fraud. So that's educational fraud and fraud in general is huge. So that might be a good angle as well. Christopher, you're up.
I'm finding that the crossing borders, changing jurisdictions, also changing of jurisdictions over time is a useful topic all by itself. I think it might be useful at the end of it to kind of reiterate, you know, to scenario one, which they just read, that, you know, there are similar problems in the educational thing. But I don't think I want to put there's an element of me that really wants the scenario one to be, you know, about kind of those core things that are, you know, DID is one of the things that keeps on hitting us is the VCs are bearer instruments and DIDs are intended to be able to allow bearer instruments to function and be able to be authenticated. And so that's something that is unique. So we really want to do that. That's it.
Manu, you're up.
About the jurisdictional thing, the one issue there, I'm getting a ton of background noise from someone. Oh, there we go. Thank you for muting. Going to the jurisdictional thing, I am concerned we need to avoid anything that's even mildly political. One of the things that I've realized over the past 10 years is that, and as annoying as it is, I mean, a lot of us care about, social change, social justice, political systems, all that kind of stuff. We all care about that stuff. It is a huge turnoff to W3C. It's a big issue. Great, I'm being recorded. It's a big issue for the representatives of these companies. I mean, if anything political even mildly political comes across, it's a problem. So all that, you know, when it comes to like jurisdictional authority, that kind of stuff, it starts getting into that territory and it raises questions that we don't want to raise. Unfortunately, they want stuff that's benign, that's clean. In some cases, it's stuff that's exceptionally boring. They want the web browser to have features that make it easier for people to log into websites. Right. I mean, that's something that's a problem that almost everyone has. It's not politically charged. The benefits are obvious. And those tend to be the use cases that they put into these documents. They don't put in, refugee use cases. They don't put in who has political jurisdiction, over a certain type of credential. Even education credentials are kind of fit into that, and so on and so forth. So that's just, feedback. The group can still go down that path. I've just noticed that the more boring and mundane and global the issue is, the easier time people have with it. That's it.
Mike Lauder has been mentioning in IRC about medical. We have a lot of good examples, actually, very developed from Adrian, in medical field. I wonder what people think about that, but we have a queue. So yes, if medical is as a potential key scenario is of interest one way or the other, add yourself to the queue. Sam, you're up.
I guess just to sort of dig a little bit on what Manu was saying, are you saying that, like, just to say as, like, because my sort of feelings are trying to show less kind of, like, dire things that we can fix, even though they're, like, powerful for, like, swaying masses, having those kind of mundane things that are, like, but aren't mundane, like, to me, like, customer preferences or, like, just being able to carry truth about yourself or offload that kind of, you know, customer acquisition into the hands of a user easily. Those kinds of things seem like the types of things that would be published. Am I in the right direction, Manu,
yes.
Or do you have, like... Okay.
Yep.
Because I think,
yeah,
like, the way MarTech is suffering and the sheer amount of money that's in there, it's like you can show that there's a solution that actually empowers people that will save that kind of, like, this circling of the drain into something where, because everybody is obsessed with customer acquisition cost, right? So it just seems like maybe that's something we can kind of, like, have some big, like, global use cases, but have something like that will sort of attract more of the people that we tend to not think about because we're frustrated by their ecosystem. That's it.
Thanks. Yeah, and that's a great point. Chris, we have 6 minutes left. Christopher, you're next.
Yeah, so I was just going to add to that, you know, I know of a number of, you know, nations that are talking about, you know, travel documents, you know, work permits that allow for different kinds of travel and all that kind of stuff that, you know, is, you know, an acceptable use case to you know, for both businesses and governments. So. And it's cross-jurisdictional, it's already leading people into sort of self-sovereign-ish type of things, before, you know, without the full DID stuff, so DIDs make it easier. I don't know if that's a separate use case or whether or not it's a subset of the international crossing borders, multiple jurisdictions one, but I think it's a safe one to, as opposed to some of the others, a safer.
Joe, you're up.
Yeah, so I want to propose that maybe applying for a job internationally may be a good overarching scenario that incorporates your educational credentials, maybe other information, including some of these things Chris just mentioned in terms of, you know, travel visas, et cetera, work visas, and it gets across border. So I don't know if that feels out of the scope of what you were thinking of for the educational scenario, but it seems a little bit less interesting to me to just say, oh, I went to school, I got a degree, then, oh, now I need to use the degree, and the framework that currently exists for doing that is problematic, but internationally we can streamline a lot of things that are hard right now.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. It, because before it's sort of a more hypothetical thing. It's like time passes, you need to rotate keys versus something that is a scenario that's more immediately forcing it. Adrian, you're next.
This may be too stupidly obvious, but if I was trying to explain this to a technical group, I would start by asking. About the limitations of federation in whatever domain or whatever use case they are familiar with, and start with that. So rather than trying to cast it in terms of either immigration or medicine or whatever, It's the fact that we all understand what the limitations of federation related to identity are, and this is a solution.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
Yeah. Let's see, Johnny Crunch, you're up next.
Yeah, I think just to comment that there was an interesting case in England recently with National Health Service about someone who, in psychiatry, I think, who actually was not licensed from a foreign graduate. So I think it's interesting, and I'm on the ABMS, American Board of Medical Specialties, and we've been thinking a lot about, really, ultimately, it's about digital assets. So it's making a claim that these I have ownership over a digital asset, and a transition from an analog to a digital era is actually how to represent that. So I think the traveling across borders, the typical hello world in healthcare for IT is immunization records, and I think that's low-hanging fruit for a use case.
Let's see. So we have 2 minutes left, 3 people in the queue. Manon, you're up.
I just wanted to push back a bit on what Joe said, but I don't remember what he said right now. I think it had to do, in general, correct me if I'm wrong, Joe, that use case that you described, the educational certificate and crossing a border and getting a job elsewhere, is something that I don't think will resonate with the tag. Like, some of them may have had to do it, but they're just like, is this really a problem for that many people? I mean, the answer is yes, absolutely it is, but they're thinking in on like billions of people. Right. So when the tag looks at something, they say, okay, the web reaches, 3.2 billion people. Is this a problem that most of them are having? They're going to say no, and then they're going to be like, this doesn't really seem that interesting. Whereas what Sam outlined, which is putting people in control of their own user preferences and being able to provide those user preferences, is simple, it's easy to grasp, it has a strong economic upside, and for those reasons, I think that would resonate more than the getting a job in another nation. I also think that Jonathan's Hello World immunization thing is really good, because it's simple, right? And that does have cross-jurisdictional things, but it's like, is this person immunized for X, Y, and Z? When was that? When did that happen? That's like a medical use case that isn't politically charged. Like, you're not bringing into the discussion whether or not the nation has universal health care or not, and those sorts of things. It's just a simple, are you immunized or not? So anyway, I think, out of all of the scenarios that I've heard, it sounds like the ones that not are most compelling to me. I think what we find compelling in this group is very different from what we're going to talk about with the tag, but I think the most compelling things for the tag might be educational certificate, like I have a computer science degree, I'm immunized for X, Y, and Z, and here are my user preferences. Those all seem like fairly good contenders that are not political and that would resonate with a large percent of the human population. That's it.
And I want to
we'll flush out the queue. So Sam, you're next.
Oh, okay. I'm next, right? Yeah, I was just going to say the military occupation specialty is something that's focused, but everybody's trying to fix it. There's 250,000 veterans exiting the service every year. And so it's ridiculous that we train people in our own country and then they don't have their skills recognized in their own country. And I think that would be a really easy cross, like non-political, because it's, serve people to have their skills be recognized through credentials. Just a thought as well.
We've got people leaving. If you like one of these sections, put your name on it and help us fill it out.
And Ryan is up next, and then we'll be done.
I just wanted to note that this sounds like it's kind of replacing the editing of the document, so maybe this should be renamed for the action item for next week's meeting. That's all.
Okay, thanks. And I'm not sure if we're seeing owners yet, but it sounds like at least for the key scenarios, we were wanting maybe Sam, Manu, in combination. And let's see, the medical scenario or the immunization sounded really interesting. I don't know if Johnny or Adrian can take a stab at that. In any case, please add your name to them. We will be following up by email and then also follow up next week on progress. Thanks, everyone.